The work of the land trust. So we are available for landowners who want to voluntarily place conservation on their property for whatever reason. They want to maybe protect it from segmentation or other things. And so that's traditionally what a land trust does. And of course, we do a lot of that. And we're seeing a lot of growth in that area. A lot of people are becoming more aware of the option, and we probably field at least once a week we'll have a landowner call us about that. But several years ago, back in 2012, we rebranded a bit because we realized that it was necessary to help people to draw connections between themselves and the land and their community. And so a lot of people look at the work that we do and they're seeing KLT everywhere, you know, and they'll be like, gosh, you guys are everywhere. What's that have to do with conservation? You know, and we are involved in a lot of initiatives. But it's because we've really come to realize, as a lot of people have, that there are conservation solutions to a lot of our community's challenges. And so we partner with, almost every organization in town on one initiative or another to work together to lift our community and do great things together.
Yeah, the Kinnexu Land Trust does have a role that it can play in community health, and as well, there's a possibility the Community Land Trust could help with housing issues.
Yep.
So, and of course, education. So there is a ton of overlap between what Kinnexu Land Trust can do in our community and other community needs that are out there.
Right.
So, yeah. And that's the role that KLT is really trying to step into.
Yep.
But what is Pine Street Woods all about? That's kind of the really visible part of Kinnexu Land Trust, I think.
Right. Yeah. So Pine Street Woods is one of several lands that Kinnexu Land Trust owns through the support of the community. And that's really the community's forest. And so it's a 180-acre property. It's about 10 minutes from downtown Sandpoint. So anyone can go there. It's a great place to recreate because it feels wild. There's definitely wild animals up there and lots of trees, and it's very natural. A really healing place to be. And it's great for hiking and biking and skiing and snowshoeing. It's open all year round from dawn to dusk. And, but it's also populated enough I know in 2020 we saw over 20,000 visits to Pine Street Woods. So people can feel, you know, people who aren't super comfortable going into wild places can feel comfortable there because there are people there. There is a labyrinth of trails, but every single one leads back to the beginning. So even a person like me who will, Chris, you're going to need to escort me out of the building because I'm not going to be able to find my way out. But even someone like me can find my way back to the parking lot.
Well, I will say, as a user of the trails up there, that you actually can get mixed up on those trails because there's a ton of them. And you hit a junction. It's like, okay, which way do I go here? Mm-hmm. Is the signage does seem to be improving?
Yeah, you know what I love about the signage up there, as a person who is geographically challenged, I love the little icons. And then you can at the trailhead, there's a map, and you can take a picture of the map. Unfortunately, I'm not a map person, so that's not as helpful for someone like me. But the little icons help me to realize where I am. And they're spaced far enough apart that I kind of, when I start to feel like, okay, where am I at? Then I happen to come upon one and I realize where I am. So it's definitely helpful.
It seems like Google Maps have started to show up some of the trails. Is that right? Have you used Google Maps up there?
Maybe no. Jen has.
I have not, but I really like the little icons because it makes it more accessible to everyone.
Even. Like icons, you're saying, like, so there's the owl trail. So you see a little picture of an owl. Yeah,
right. It makes it accessible even for, like, little ones that maybe can't read yet or can't recognize the names yet. They know the little pictures. So
Yeah. Well, Jen, this is a good jumping off place to start talking about the intern program you have. Now, you do have you have paid staff there. You're a paid staffer. How big is your staff cadre up there?
Yeah. Well, it's growing. So we did our Friday 11. I don't know. We do have a staff person in Montana that works with our recreation program over there, helping to elevate the recreation economy in Montana. And so we have Kayla over there, and then
she's based in what town?
She's in Thompson Falls.
In Thompson Falls,
yeah.
Okay.
And then we have seven of us. So and Katie, our executive director, is the only full-time employee. So the rest of us work part-time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And how is that funded?
It's funded through grants, and it's also funded through the generous support of people in our community who understand how important this conservation work is. And, you know, our support in this community is really unbelievable. People just in their hearts just really, really care about this land here. I mean, that's why we're here, right? Yeah. Everybody loves the earth here, and it's just, mm-hmm. it's amazing to see. It's inspiring to see people mm-hmm. care so much.
Okay, so you do have an intern program.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Okay, so Jen and Caitlin will tell you a little bit more about what they are doing specifically, but I think it's important to understand kind of how that fits in, because again, it's another thing where people are like, well, what's that have to do with conservation and with our education program? And it at its heart, it is part of our education program. So we work on education with children, connecting them to the land from the real littles, the toddlers, and right on up through post high school and adults with our folk school education program. So the internship is really about showing young people that there are opportunities in conservation in North Idaho and Montana. And so we're looking primarily for post high school students, whether they're in college or whatever they're doing, to attract them back to Sandpoint and give them an opportunity to get some real work experience in conservation and help them decide what they want to do with their future after they get a little bit of experience under their belt. And that's the case with Jen and Caitlin here. And over the past 3 years, the interns we've had, they are people who have a foundation here in Sandpoint. They're off to college somewhere else in the country, typically. And then we bring them back here to their hometown to work with us and get to, work up at Pine Street Woods and do some of the events that we host here.
Okay. So Jen, that kind of implies you're a Sandpoint High grad.
I grew up between here and Western Washington.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I went to high school over in Washington, but I am going to be a senior next year at Loyola Chicago University.
Well, that's a different environment.
It's very different. So I love being able to come home and just be fully immersed in the community, up in the woods, and just doing a little bit of everything with this internship. Because it's very easy to get disconnected, I feel like, if you're in a big city.
So what are you studying?
I'm studying environmental science, and I have a minor in sustainable business management. But I technically have 2 years left. I'm planning on getting my master's in the same field. So, yeah.
And what made you interested in being an intern? It kind of follows along with your career path, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really just looking for something at home because we grow up in such a beautiful area, and I wanted to kind of be a bigger part of that. And I realized with Kinnexu Land Trust that there is a huge conservation community in North Idaho, and I get to do so much with them. Every day is different, and it's really great to kind of figure out what exact field I want to go into within environmental science, because we do a little bit of everything. So
this is your second year as an intern. Yeah, what did you do in your first year, and then tell us, what are you doing this year? How is it different?
First year I was kind of learning the ropes, just every day I learn a new thing that Kinnexu is involved in. So second year, I'm a little more well-versed in that, which is great because I can kind of teach Caitlin the ropes as well. But it's kind of nice just to know a little bit more of what's going on so that we can help grow the programs a little bit more because I know a little bit more about them. But yeah, right now we're doing our Trails and Tales program. Our first day of that was yesterday. It's a summer reading program up at Pine Street. So yeah.
So tell a little more about that. What that's for kids, right?
Yep. Yeah. That's one of our education programs that's really for the littles. It's an hour long, 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. We partner with the library, and we read a couple books and do a little story walk. And it's just a really great way to get the kids out there and the families out there that maybe might not have explored that area very much.
So they come up to Pine Street Woods, and they're in the there's a recreation center building there.
Yep, meet up at the rec center, and then we kind of take off along through the meadow, and stop for stories along the way.
And how many kids do you have right now?
Yesterday we got about two kiddos because it was our first program, but last year we got up to 15 or so kids up there.
Okay. So anybody with kids, what age group is that again?
We've had little infants in hiking backpacks, and we've had up to 9 or 10 year olds. So anyone and everyone is welcome.
Okay. All right. And they get a hold of Kinnexie Land Trust or the library, either one?
Either one, Kinnexie Land Trust or the library.
Or just show up.
Yeah, or just show up.
At 9.
Yeah.
9 a.m. on
Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays. Okay. Yeah. Shout out to anybody out there with the kids that wants to introduce them to the beauty of the natural world and tie in some reading and have some fun. Yeah.
And we have free snacks.
Okay. And Caitlin, how about you? What is your story?
Yes, I am from Texas. So right now I'm going to school at Texas State University and I'm going to be a senior there. So I split my time between there and here in the summer, similar to Jen. And it's really nice to get to come back here in the summer and just immerse myself in the nature here. It's so beautiful. And I'm doing geography, resource, and environmental studies for my major. So, yeah, this internship kind of came to me when I was looking for something here in Sandpoint to do in my career field and also figuring out what I wanted to do. And I found Kinnexie, so it was, kind of perfect.
Do you have family here in town?
I do, yes.
Okay. So that's how you decided you wanted to come to Sandpoint. And then you scouted around and you found Kinnexie Land Trust.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, what was your major?
It's geography, resource, and environmental studies.
Yeah. Okay. So that fits in with your career aspirations.
Yes.
And what kind of things are you working on?
Yeah, me and Jen are kind of paired up doing a lot of things together. So I'm kind of doing a little bit of everything, just helping everyone out. Whenever they need help with something, I'm just learning the ropes. There's definitely a lot of stuff that Kinnexie is involved in. I'm just learning everything. So it's a little bit different every day. I just show up and help out wherever needed. So it's really fun.
All right. Well, it's cool that Kinnexie Land Trust can provide that opportunity for you guys. Get some real world experience. Do you both get up at Pine Street Woods a bit, or are you kind of admired in the office, or is it a mix?
We're up there almost every day for a variety of reasons. Sometimes we're helping Dave with kids camp. Sometimes we're doing some trail work. But we're up there almost every day.
Yep. So kids camp, what is that, Marcy?
Okay, that is one of our most well-known education programs. And so that is every summer we have 6 weeks of summer camp, and we break it. Each of those weeks is broken up into a different age group. And so from 6 years old all the way up to 15. And the past couple of years, the teens now do a canoe trip on, they did Lake Pondere last year and they're up at Priest Lake, I think, this year, right? And so that's become such a huge popular program with people because it's wild. It's just, these kids just get to get out there and learn primitive skills. They learn foraging and fire building and weapons training, with bow and arrow things. They just learn all kinds of stuff. And so they really just make incredible memories. And it's gotten so popular now that we have to do it by lottery. We do try to make that available to every single kid. It's one of the most affordable summer programs in the area. And it's also, we try to get about 25 to 30% of the kids in on scholarship. So we make sure that cost isn't a barrier to getting into this program too, because it's pretty great. I wish they had it when I was a kid. Yeah.
And what age group is this?
So they have last week they did the 6-year-olds to like six to eight. Yeah. And then so each of the 6 weeks is a different age group that goes all the way up to 15.
Okay. And
yeah.
So you're doing a canoe trip. That's got to be a lot of logistics, transporting kids and getting the canoes. Are they canoes or kayaks?
Yeah, canoes and kayaks. I mean, whatever they can scrounge up. And I'll just say that our education director, Dave Kretschmar, is absolutely fearless. And this is his background anyway. That was something that he had done for many years before. So he's really confident about that. And then he selects staff that are incredibly capable. And that's part of the reason why we only offer 6 weeks, is because he is very selective about who his staff is. And so he just will only work within their capacity. And once those staffers are doing all they can, that's as much camp as we can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's one of your signature programs.
Yeah.
You have other stuff going on. I know you're doing what you call health hikes now.
Yeah.
What are those about?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's new. So we work with, right now we have one doctor on board, Dr. Meg from Lakeshore Health, but we hope to have other doctors come on board. Where once a month we do a hike up at Pine Street Woods on a different trail, and it's a cardio hike. It's, you know, it's not just a nice leisurely walk on a trail.
Getting the heart rate up.
The heart rate up.
And
get
you
out
guys
in nature.
Have some hills that can be climbed.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Some of them are hardy.
Yeah.
And so it's like a 45-minute walk, but the doctor will discuss a health topic like brain health or, you know, nutrition or something like that that's just of interest with people. And then people can walk at their own pace after her little 5-minute talk or whatever. They can ask questions. It can be kind of like a little doctor's office out in the woods. It's a great opportunity for health professionals and their patients to come out. And I know a lot of health professionals are super busy and haven't even gotten to get up to Pine Street Woods yet. So we hope that this will encourage people to come up and within a nice little safe, healthy environment, come up and go for a little walk with us and get to know the trails.
And this is once a month?
Yes. So it's on the first Monday of every month.
Okay.
And it's going to be at 8:30. And we'll meet at the rec center or the upper parking lot at Pine Street Woods.
So it'll be July 3rd?
July 3rd.
Is that the first one for the year?
No, we've done a couple of them already. So July 3rd actually will be the third.
Okay.
Third one.
And so how do you let people know about this? Do you like put the word out to doctor offices or?
Yeah. So honestly, we kind of rebranded a little bit. So we were originally just kind of trying to reach anyone who wanted to go for a walk. But then the first time I walked with Dr. Meg, I realized this was not a leisurely stroll. I was huffing and puffing while I was walking. And so her idea was more, let's get exercise first thing in the morning when it's super healthy for us to do that and hear the birds and hear our hearts pounding while we're out on the trail. So now we are more reaching out to health professionals and to fitness instructors and like anyone that just, I mean, we all really know the value of getting outside and getting exercise in nature. And so really, really trying to promote that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's one of the things you have going on
there.
The monthly health hikes. Next one's going to be July 3rd. You have an event coming up that's already sold out, but it's such a cool event. We need to talk about. It's called Pairings in the Pines.
Yes.
And tell us what that's about.
Okay. I am so excited about this event because it's just so beautiful. I think it's just one of the most amazing evenings in the summer. This is our third year doing it. It is a tasting tour up at Pine Street Woods. It's on the Crooked Tree Trail. And we have 5 stations along the trail, and we have restaurants. The Bank is one of them. Jupiter Jane, Eichhardt's, Bluebird Bakery, and Rustique Bakery will all be up there with really delicious bites that are paired with a wine from Freya Cellars, which is out of Hillsboro, Oregon. They're big into conservation, and they're just an amazing winery. So we're just craftfully pairing these incredible wines with local food. And so it's, you know, this kind of gala outdoors event where you can take your wine and walk along the trail listening to Justin Landis and Josh Hedlund and Little Wolf will be up there playing.
There's some music stations around.
It's just, it's so beautiful, you guys. Jen's been there and it's really, I mean, I'm sorry that it's sold out because I feel almost guilty talking about how incredible it is. But like last year we had four departure times, so they're staggered so that everybody's not meeting up at the same place. So you have time to kind of gather around one of the stations and talk and so this year we had to do five departure times, and we still sold out. So just make sure you get your tickets next year if you don't get
Watch for that next year.
That's
If you got left out this year. Yeah. Is there a waiting list in case
there is a waiting list? Okay. Yeah, we are doing that this year. So you can just get in touch with me. It's Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, at kinixu.org. Also, we have it on the website. You can click on my name. And Chris, I noticed that you and Sandy are in this year.
We were in last year, too. Yeah. And it was a really cool thing. Yeah. It's a spendy ticket, actually, because this is an important fundraiser.
Exactly.
So you do need that part of your activities to find ways to generate the funds you need. So, but hey, it's a donation and you have a ton of fun, right?
Exactly. And, you know, also this came about because we do have, as a lot of nonprofits in our area have, a big ticket gala event once a year. And some people said, you know, it would be nice if there was something just a little bit more affordable, like a little bit less expensive. And so something, you know, within $100 or $200 a ticket, it would be a little more reasonable. And then we still feel like we're contributing. Yeah. So that's how it all came about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as long as we're on the subject of fundraising, tell us a bit about the big ticket gala event.
Event is on hold this year because we are in the midst of our big capital campaign for the Sled Hill. So we pivoted this year and we're not doing the big gala event that we normally do. This year, we're going to do, you're hearing it here first.
Okay. Breaking news.
I'm revealing it. It's called Sled Fest and it's going to rock. So we're going to have four stages up at the Sled Hill property, which I just want to clarify, we do not own that yet. So some friends of Kinixu Land Trust have purchased the land on our behalf and we have to pay them back. So they've given us until October to pay that back.
This October.
Okay. And we've raised a lot.
It's a big buy.
It is.
How much is the entire campaign trying to raise?
The original goal is 21.
No, 2.1.
2.1 million. Sorry. See, in addition to geography, I'm bad at math. So 2.1 million was our original fundraising goal. We're now down to $667,000 that we need to raise by October.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're going to do it.
Okay.
It's happening. And Sled Fest is a fundraiser. So tickets are going to be like $50 a piece. However, Katie told me this past week that even though it is a fundraiser and we're just, you know, really hoping to bring in some support that way, we want every single person in the community there. So we're going to offer a community ticket and that will be no charge. So it's important to raise funds, but it's also really important that everyone is part of this. So,
okay. So, do you have a date yet?
August 26th.
August 26th.
10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We're going to have bands all over the place, regional bands. And so we'll have this really nice, diverse genre collection that'll flow throughout the whole day. We're going to have a cool country mercantile there that is supported by the Kinixu Folk School artists. And lots of local food and drink. And we're doing this super cool art fundraiser with sleds, which is neat.
So artists take a sled and
They can do whatever they want with it. Yeah. So people right now, our office is full of sleds. And so It's really funny. And so artists are dropping in this week, picking up sleds to decide if they're going to paint on it, weave on it, sculpt on it, carve into it, melt it down and make something else. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm super excited to see.
They come up with really creative stuff to do with that.
Them artists.
So Jen and Caitlin, are you involved in getting ready for Sled Fest?
We are. We've been delivering sleds the last couple days. But it's just really exciting because we're going to do a silent auction with the sleds at Sled Fest. So there's 20 sleds up for sale. And I'm just really excited to see what everyone comes up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a sled's a pretty big thing. Would this be a piece of art that you might put on your wall? Or how would the art work for the purchaser?
The same as the artist can have their imagination to do whatever they want, the person who purchases the art can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's Sled Fest. That's coming August 26th. And let's talk a little bit more about the Sled Hill campaign, because this is the piece of property that, if you've ever driven out Pine Street, towards going on to Pine Street Loop, actually, it's the property on the left, and it's the big cleared hillside that you see just after you get past Selkirk School. So this was historically kind of like the town ski hill, right? Before there was a Schweitzer. Do you have a bit of the history?
Yeah. So it was back in the 40s. It was a ski hill. excuse me. And so this is where a lot of the teenagers learned how to ski. And we have a really great story on our website under the happenings tab about some of the skiers that, you know, Fritz Holtz and Gary Peach, some of the others that used to go up there and ski. And they are in their 80s now, and they love to tell stories about, you know, those things. So we have a nice article about some of their stories. But then over time, so it's always just been a privately owned piece of property, and it just happened that the owners liked to open it up to the community to use it. And then it became the sledding hill. And so for decades, people would go up there and sled on the sledding hill, and the Wise family would allow people to come up there and sled. And I think, you know, sometimes maybe people got a little bit hurt because that sledding hill is crazy.
It's a steep hill, but it has a very clear run out. So and, if you hang in there, you're probably going to get down to the bottom.
Absolutely. There is a tree in the middle of it. So there's that. But you know, people were just so gracious to be able to use that. And we're all so grateful to the Wise family for allowing the community to be able to use that. And of course, in recent years, it had to be the Wise family, the couple that owned it got older, and it just was too much for them really to be able to do that anymore. So that was closed down. And then the community kind of wondered what would happen to that land. Would it just become condos, or it's such a beautiful piece of property? And so the community really rallied behind it and showed that they wanted to save it. And so it seemed fitting that Kinnexu Land Trust would do that, especially since it's right next to Pine Street Woods. It's part of the original homestead. And so it will become part of Pine Street Woods. And we're hoping to go sledding up there this winter.
Yeah. So what is the idea for development? Like, would there be a little rope tow or something like that in the future?
Yeah, that's the dream. Yeah. You know, we'll see what happens. So part of the fundraising effort is to create a plan. So we'll create a master plan, and we'll have community members that are part of a committee and some professionals that will help us to put that together. And but yeah, there's talk of that. And then some of the buildings on there, you know, we hope to house our Kinnexu Folk School there. We've already been doing some events at the Sled Barn, we're calling it, the shop that's there. And then our Kinnexu Lumber Initiative is another thing that we have going on with
a small portable mill that you can mill lumber for people. They can bring their logs to be milled, right?
Yeah. Well, the logs come from Pine Street Woods.
Oh, they all come from Pine Street. Okay.
And actually, we have some really beautiful wood right now that would make a really great hearth. Like, what do you call those pieces that go above the
mantle?
Yeah. I'm also not good at English.
Hey, you're the director of communication.
Don't even. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like got all this blue and like beautiful. So if you're interested in a really special piece, let me know because I can hook you up. But yeah, so there's a lot going on. And the Sledding Hill is going to be just such an amazing, amazing resource for our community. Just like Pine Street Woods has become such a staple in our community now, the Sledding Hill is just going to make it even more incredible.
And aside from the sledding part of it, you will be able to extend some of the trails.
Yeah.
You have a terrific trail system already, but that will add to the trail system.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, lots of good stuff on the way. And we're grateful to all of you that are listening for supporting it in any way that you do. We're just so, so grateful.
If you've just tuned in, this is The Morning Show on KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler, and we're talking with Marcy Timlin and interns, Jen Manowski and Caitlin Embry with the Kinnexu Land Trust. And we're talking about all the stuff going on up there, what Kinnexu Land Trust is about. And we're probably coming about to the end of our time here pretty soon. But I did want to ask you one thing. So I know last year there was a lot of a press about a cougar that was on the property. And there has been cougar activity again at the property. Can you tell us, you know, what the situation is as of today with the cougar and how the Kinnexu Land Trust is you know, managing the whole thing for people that use the trails.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, the cougar was spotted yesterday again. And
by just a hiker that was out on the trails?
Yeah. Okay. And so here's the thing. Pine Street Woods is first and foremost a conservation property. There are trails all over it. It's a safe place to be, but it's nature, and nature's happening there. So there are predators that live up there, and there's a mountain lion that's been up there. I mean, there probably have always been mountain lions up there, but particularly we've been hearing a lot about it lately. I was joking earlier that maybe we should give that mountain lion a name because it seems like every other week we're like, okay, let's put an alert on social media that we have a mountain lion spotting or a cougar kill. But the mountain lion that we're seeing up there, if it's the same one, is eating really well. The reason why it's staying there is because it's got plenty to do. It's got plenty to eat. It's making a really good living, and it really doesn't have any interest in eating people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have any interest in eating dogs either. But I will say that that's probably the biggest conflict is because a lot of times dogs will, you know, they want to sniff out the animals, and then that puts the mountain lion in a little bit of a cranky mood, and you know, just it feels intruded, and it could hurt the dog, and it could hurt others, and we could hurt the mountain lion. So we're just asking people, particularly right now, and I'll mention why in just a second, but particularly right now, if you could just keep your dogs on a leash while you're up there, and especially when you've heard that there's been a mountain lion sighting, just to either keep your dog within 10 feet of you at all times, which is the rule. I mean, that is what we ask people to do up at Pine Street Woods. Keep your dog within 10 feet of you at all times. If your dog doesn't know how to do that or has a short attention span like my dog, then yeah, let's keep them on a leash. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I was just going to mention is we do have the mixed herd up at Pine Street Woods right now. And That is there to help mitigate the weeds, and so they
so
come up and
these animals. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about what these animals are?
Yeah, you know, so actually, Caitlin or Jen, would you guys like to talk about the herd a little bit?
Yeah, it's a herd of I think almost 60 animals. There's sheep, goats, llamas, yaks, camels, and they're
it's
currently
a menagerie.
Just, yeah, yeah, it really is. And they're currently just they move every day to a different spot in the meadow, and they're just helping keep the invasive weeds down, and it's just really fun. I was there when the animals got to the meadow, and the kids were also there from kids camp. So there was like goats and kids and sheep and dogs running around. So it was really fun. But it's just really cool to see them up there because you wouldn't necessarily think that we'd have a whole herd up in Pine Street, but we do, just 10 minutes from Sandpoint. Yeah. So
you could go up and see these animals that you would not see anywhere else except in a zoo, maybe. And check them out as you take a walk around the property, right?
Yeah, and the shepherds that are up there are they love to share their herd with the visitors up at Pine Street Woods, and they've been known to let the kids come inside the temporary fencing and hold a baby goat, or, you know, maybe even ride a camel or, you know, something. But I don't know if they do that, but they, you know, they would, they're just very, the animals are very kid and adult friendly. So it's fun.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap up, and I did want to ask Jen and Caitlin, the interns, just any final thoughts on having this kind of resource here for our community, and, you know, what, in your words, what's the value of something like Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust in the Pine Street Woods? Jen, you're the senior intern here.
I would just say working with Kinnick-Sioux in any form is just a great way to explore the community. I mean, whether you're looking to do the intern program next year like I am, or you're just kind of new to the area and want to explore a little bit of the trail system without being too intimidated, it's just a great way to reach out. And if you're ever bored, just come to us. We have plenty of volunteer opportunities for you to do. So, yeah. And it's just a super caring organization. Mm-hmm. They're great. So,
we love you too, Jen.
And Caitlin, what are your thoughts on being part of this enterprise that we have here?
I'll just say I'm, like, so thankful to be a part of it this summer. It's been so awesome. And I, like, learned something new every day, and it was like exactly what I was looking for when I was looking for an internship to figure out like what I want to do. So yeah, I'm just super thankful to be a part of it, and it's amazing. They're doing amazing things.
You guys are doing amazing things. Thank you both.
And Marcy Timlin, Director of Communications, do you have any final things you want to toss out about Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust or Pine Street Woods or Sled Hills or who knows?
Well, you know, I could go on forever, but yeah, everything's on our website. With maybe a few things missing. I don't know. We're doing so much. But we love to have people just pop into the office or give us a call or see us up at Pine Street Woods and ask us questions or chat with us. That's our favorite thing to do, is to talk to all of you about what is going on in our community and how we're working on it together.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being here. Marcy Timlin, Director of Communications at Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, and Jen Manowski and Caitlin Embry, the interns. Appreciate you coming in to tell us about what's going on at Pine Street Woods.
Thanks for having us.